Happy Thursday to each and every one of you out there who are listening to Linda Sims here live on WGH Talk. The name of the show is called A Voice of a People. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully your Thursday is going well. It's not as cold as it was. It doesn't feel like it anyway. And not only that, they say snow is coming tomorrow.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait.
Maybe an inch
right,
or two.
What I want is never no more snow.
Right.
Go ahead.
For y'all snow lovers out there.
Oh, I love it.
Got some coming. Okay. Now, we stream live on the web, www.wgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app on any electronic device, laptops, cell phones, iPhones, and computers. And once you download it, in the search bar, please type in WWGH. So you can take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. Or call in during a live broadcast like today. If you would like to ask questions or make a comment with me or my guest today, please call 740-383-9944. I know some of you say, well, she goes too fast. Well, I kind of slowed it down for you. And if you listen all the time, you have a lot of opportunity to just jot down that number so that you can call in. Okay, now let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is free produce will take place April, which is next month, April the 15th of 2023. It starts at 12 noon until 2 p.m. We also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, a program which is an after-school program in all of our elementary schools, county schools, and North Union County Schools. The program is called Good News Club, faith-based program. And if you're interested in your child attending or your grandchild attending, or if you have a friend or neighbor who may be looking for this type of education or enlightenment in their children's lives, please share this information with them. Now, Cheryl Lee can be reached at 740-262-0939. Or you can go to the school your child attends, to the office, and pick up a form. It has to be filled out. They need your consent for your child or grandchild to attend this program. So hopefully those of you can get your children plugged in before the program is over at the end of this school term. But it does begin in October again. And not only that, this program has been around in Marion County since 2009. Hopefully that encourages some of you to take advantage of this faith-based program. Last but not least, we have Chappie's Hydraulic Hole Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. And welcome, and thank you for those of you who listen faithfully to A Voice of a People. Hope your day is going well for you. And if it's your first time, I pray it will not be your last time. I like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it is titled Detached Observer. It is far better to observe than to absorb every word, feeling, and attitude, to get over, involved, or react too much. Observing gives us the patience and clarity to think. Act appropriately. Observing creates an inner focus that allows us to see reality. Okay, hopefully that can help some of you. I will read that again in the next hour. Now I'd like to turn my attention to my guest today, Woody Harris, author. Right, all three of them.
Yeah.
Yes, and producer of Tap One YouTube podcast, right?
Yep.
Yes, and author. Okay. Now, how you been since I saw you last?
Oh, I've been doing well. Just working on new projects, that's as always. Doing some new projects, me and my son, called Now and Then. And it's just basically a project where we take any subject, any situation. We've been doing movies, but we can do it with music or whatever, because we've been doing this forever. And you just look at it, and you look at how it affected things then and how it's affecting things now, how it's effective or relative now compared to then.
All right.
Just make a comparison, and you'll find that the outlook on certain things in this country hasn't changed at all.
Really?
No, not really.
So it's not just Marion. It's the country as a whole.
No, it's this country.
Oh, my.
You know, they totally. I was listening to something this guy here, and I've never heard this guy before. And then when I looked at where he worked at, he works on this, him and these other conservatives work on this one particular company, group. And I got their name, but we ain't going to talk about that right now, but anyways, what he was basically saying is that he had went to Memphis, right? And he said, I went to Memphis. He said, and on looking, going to Memphis, he said, it was the ugliest city I've ever seen. He said, now, I'm not talking about the city. He said, I'm talking about the people.
Wow.
He said, and mainly black people. And he said, they are some of the ugliest people. He said, and all the crime that you basically see, now I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty much what he said, in the country. He said, if you go to any black city, he said, you'll see the same crime simply because these group of people simply do not have anything to offer to society. Now, that's just his viewpoint. Now, this guy is a right winger. His name is Andrew Calvin, K-L-A-V-A-N. And I want to know. Now, I know the network that he works with, they totally right-wing, so there's no sense in talking to them, because that's what they promote, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it kind of goes with what you was talking about, what the word of the day is, too.
Okay.
You got
okay.
to observe things.
Right.
Really watch how people are trying to twist things up and make things seem like they're something that they're not.
Right, you know? Right.
So that's the beginning of my spiel.
Well, great. I mean, that's a great beginning. Oh,
yes,
my.
So. I think that was appropriate, the word that you gave. So anyway, how you been doing?
I've been doing well.
Doing well?
Yeah.
Working hard?
No. Somewhat.
You say yeah.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was speaking, me and my co-partner. We got these with these crazy names we keep making up for each other, right?
But, okay.
The whole thing we be talking about is how when you have a child and you try to develop a child, you never know exactly what you're going to get.
Right.
Until you get it, you know. And then when you get it, it be like, where did this come from? So I kind of understand, man. Some days, man, I'd be trying to work with young blood. And some days I'd be like, man, I just sit and watch it.
Right, right.
You know, they'll move you out the way.
Yes, they will.
Oh, yeah,
yes, they will.
Too slow.
Right.
You know, I'm like,
right.
You know, no, Pop, no, that ain't, no, don't worry about that.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'll be like, listen, I didn't understand what they meant when they said we old school.
Right, right.
I mean, I know that meant we went to school back in the day type stuff, but all the stuff that we know is old.
Yeah, in our time, right? Our youth.
And it only really worked for when we was young.
Right.
You can't apply a lot of that stuff now today.
Isn't that something?
You know, like behavior, for instance. These kids don't think about behavior like we did. You know, and to them, they're not being disrespectful when they tell you, like, listen, you don't know what you're talking about because we Googling it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And they, like, when you be talking to your child and they study Googling everything, you say, that ain't right.
Oh, my.
You know.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Right at their fingertips. All that knowledge.
But what
about the wisdom of it? See, they don't get the wisdom of it. They just get facts and information.
That's right. Parents, we've come in and kind of shaped that thinking.
Right.
And it kind of throws me off, man, to see him doing things or to see other people do things once you kind of show them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a gift to be able to show people. And if people, I'm going to go back to your word, if they are observers, if they are people that can sit down and contemplate and look at what's going on, you can teach people, and they can take off. Because I know, man, people will teach me certain things. Mm-hmm. And next time they see you, you know, you will have advanced to a point where they be like, wow. And that's happened to me many a time. You ever done that where you teach somebody how to play something, a game, or... It used to happen all the time with music with me. I would teach somebody how to play something basic on the guitar.
Right.
And about 6 months later, I couldn't play with them. Because they would be whatever they had. Anyhow.
They'd be gone. Well, at least they learned and practiced it.
Yeah, they had some extra stuff going on too, you know, because some of them kids caught on kind of fast. You know?
True.
I mean, like, really crazy. And I had been practicing too, so I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, how are they leaving me? Just fundamentally just didn't have what they had.
Right.
Dexterity, size of fingers. I mean, it could be a host of things. Man.
That's true. So true.
Because I see people with little short fingers playing. I'd be like, how do they do that? But anyways.
Yeah, because I thought you had to have long fingers to play a piano.
Ooh, man, a lot of your piano players got small, short fingers, man.
Hmm.
Bobby's fingers are short. He told me one time, he said, man, if I had your fingers, I could create some chords.
Bobby Floyd?
Mm-hmm. Because he was always looking at how large my hand was. Right. I could stretch across a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And in order for him to play it, he had to play it like in what they call a perigeo style, where you just hit 1, 2, 3, sort of. But I would just stretch across. He's like, man, if I had stretched like that. But, you know.
Right. But he gets by with what he does have.
You know, yeah. He does, man. I mean,
have to improvise all the time, don't we?
We were talking about him last week, so we kind of was looking up some of his schedulings and stuff. And he'd be busy.
I went to see him recently.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Yeah. Went down to Natalie's to see him.
Okay.
On a
I
Sunday.
I don't know what Natalie is, but I knew a Natalie.
Nice little club.
Okay.
They have two stages. They have different entertainers at different times. So, like, I think they play for an hour and a half, and I guess possibly the span of 2 hours. One group is performing, and then after that, another one comes in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And it's called Natalie's.
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 Mm-hmm.
All right, Natalie, you just got a plug.
Right.
That means send some money this way.
And there's another...
Don't give out no more names. These people ain't paying us. Just say another establishment. There's another...
Well, I have to give her a shout out now.
Somebody you know?
Yeah, Brianna Odell. Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Marion Maid also.
If it's somebody that you know, I mean, that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, if it's just somebody that we like, oh, shabu. Yeah. You know, I'm learning. I'm getting ready to try to... learn part of this language, and it's simple when you understand what they're telling you. And they have sounds like for the letter R, N, or whatever. Because I don't remember it itself, because I just briefly looked at it the other day. But I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
The guy say, instead of saying running, you say money. So you put the pop before the ing sound.
Wow, I've heard.
Right?
Really?
Now, the thing is if you have more than one sound in that word.
Or syllable?
No.
No?
Because, like, for instance, like he was explaining, they don't make clicking sounds for every letter, but their vowels, no, whatever, A-E-I-O-U, all of those have click sounds.
Wow.
Right? And every time they show up in a word, you're supposed to use that click. So sometimes you may have a something.
What language is that? Is that English or?
No. It's an African language. It's like
I thought so. Yeah.
The one that is associated with it is the same group that I think is responsible for going all around the globe,
mm-hmm.
and creating and spreading their DNA all over the world. And I think it's the same group that Mandela is from.
Okay.
And when you see these guys, they kind of look Asian, you know?
Right, right.
Which, because they migrated from that part of Africa, and they went literally. And did, okay, here's what happened. This guy was talking about it's a show out on I think it's PBS, and it's called The Journey of Man.
Okay.
And where he takes one drop of blood that he had found, and he said, this DNA from this blood is from this particular tribe. And he said, and I'm going to show you where this tribe have been all over the world. So everywhere he went, he checked these people out. I think we talked about this. And he checked these people out, and he found that same DNA in every continent all over the world.
Hmm.
From that one group of African tribe.
So that's more or less saying that African tribe has been all over the world.
Exactly.
And so helped populate the world.
They actually had purposely placed themselves in every civilization and became part of it.
Okay. Yeah.
So the way he said it, they traveled. See, this is during the time when the earth was closer as far as the land masses and stuff was closer to, from what I'm understanding. So I don't know how many years we're talking. 50, 60,000, 100,000, maybe 50. Who knows, man? I don't know either. I don't try to know all that stuff because that stuff is crazy as heck. It's too,
yeah.
Because for one thing, it's too much of it, man. I mean, go to that African Museum in D.C., man.
I've been there.
That thing is crazy.
Yes, it is.
You know, and the first thing my daughter asked me, she said, Pop, why does that look like it's got an upside down, it's the outside structure is an upside down pyramid.
Right.
And she said, why is it like that? And we talked about that.
Why is it?
Because the pyramid was reportedly built by Africans.
Hmm.
The Europeans came in and turned their whole system upside down.
Oh.
So when they're showing you what's in this building, they're showing you the different levels and plights of the African that was brought to this country.
Right, right.
And as they're showing you that, what they're showing you is the one thing that they contributed that everybody talks about that has been flipped upside down, even their philosophies and their language, their religion. And that's how they were able to conquer so many of the African people as a result of that.
Right.
So I remember when they were talking about putting that building together, and they kind of talked about that a little bit. And it's pretty interesting when you go in there.
It is very interesting.
When did you go in there?
It may have been 5 years ago. Oh. They had just finished it. They had just opened it up.
It was hard to get in there then, man.
Yeah, people was handing out tickets outside.
We was, you know, at that time, man, you just go right to D.C., about an hour drive for us at the time.
Right.
But, man, you had to still have a month in advance. You had to have a reservation.
Yeah. Well, we got in there without a reservation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yo, but this time we had the reservation this time, but we was a little late. But with the weather, and they had a lot of kids because they was doing like kid tours and stuff.
They had so much in there. You could not, I mean, it was too much to digest at one time.
Absolutely.
It would take like two or three days.
I did my podcast. I started another podcast thing called The Mass Ninja. I haven't even started working on that yet.
Mm.
But what it did was I started that because when I was in the museum, I was sitting down because, man, I was like tired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this little white chick came, sat down. She might have been about 10 or 11, and she was pissed. And so her parents was trying to get her to see the rest of the exhibits, and she like, I'm through with this stuff. You know, I don't want to see no more of this.
Because
she realized from what the parents was trying to, because the dad kept saying, well, what's wrong with her? And the mother kept saying, she's upset.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you know, we trying to explain to her that this is what happened.
Right.
And she was upset about it. So I was sitting there and I started filming and talking about that. And I realized, like, hey, you know, I wonder how white people feel about the ones that come in. Because you had some in there smooching and holding hand and being all cute. And I'm like, this ain't the place. And they were getting all kinds of eyes looking at them. You know how people be cutting their eyes after talking about it. Yeah, I would. Kiss her again. No, just do like that. I wish that, you know, slap the lip right off your mouth.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, it's an art museum. Yes, it is. And, you know, some people may feel a little personal about it, but it's still an art museum, right?
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, in practical sense of the word, yeah.
It's a museum.
However, all art don't hold trauma.
No.
And hurt. And
not all, no.
All that shit pissed me off.
It is a lot to digest and to take in and to see and because
it just was too much.
It works on you. You're like, did this really happen?
And then,
look
did
at
you
this
talk,
and
I
look
talked
at that.
To the people
and,
that worked there, man, and they was like, bro, we be trying to make it through each day.
Right, I'm sure.
Because, man, it's just looking at this. Because how many times can you watch them beat a man? You know.
Right.
Before how many times? Anyway. Before, you know, it started affecting you. Right?
That's true.
So.
And that goes for anybody.
I don't get it, man.
It should go for anybody.
And another thing, too, I remember the first time I went with, one summer, me and this white guy was riding together during the summer lunch. And so we decided to stop by the Black Museum that's in Baltimore. And he was like, hey, man, let's go in the Blacks and Wax. It's all right, man, you know, we can go in there. So we went in there, and he started running around because when you first go into this place, they take you right into the belly of the, of like you're going into the slave ship. And that place smelled like slaves, too. At least that's what I was thinking. And then they got the they got that music in the background. All that stuff. And let me tell you something. All that stuff works on your psyche.
Man. Yeah, it does.
You know? And so, my other daughter, she was like, I can't take this. No, she said, because this stuff is too real. And the figurines at that time, when they first did it, man, they were really live looking, you know, the wax part of it. And so, you're looking at these people that's enslaved, and they got them in the chains, and you, I mean, they look like live figures, and you're just walking around watching, looking at this stuff. You know, and this dude started freaking out. Yo, man, he said, hey, can you believe this stuff? And I'm like, come here, man. I said, see these pictures on the wall? I said, look at the pictures and then look at me.
Right.
Do you see any resemblance? I said, we the same folks. You're going to ask me, you know? And it was just like, he's like, oh, man, I couldn't believe this, you know? And he was a guy that thought that he was liberal, you know?
Right.
He felt he was on top of it.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people do until you see something like that to bring you into or shock you into reality of what really happened as far as man can, you know, recreate these things. It's nothing that, at least I felt like, wow, I couldn't believe it. All the artifacts, all the history that they had compiled together in that museum, you know, and I was just consumed.
That's why we did.
Level by level, you know.
We did a Heckle and Jekyll, remember them?
Yes.
The two black crows. Because I told you one time, I think we was here, me and my son was talking about that, but we did a podcast on that. And we only do a 10-15 minute thing where we sit down, look at it, talk about what it is, how it affect you. Because when he first got it, he was a little kid, and he thought there was something wrong with his TV. So he came and got me and said, hey man, something's wrong. And so I went and checked it out and saw what he was looking at and explained to him what it was. And, of course, you know, at that age, he didn't really get it, but that at least it planted a seed so that he could be more aware of this situation. Because the thing is, you know, we all know that you can't say certain things because if you do, people don't want to hear the truth. And now you're even more like that. You know, people just so, oh, you can't say that because that hurts my feelings and I feel so bad about it, you know, because nobody wants to be accountable for the crap that they create. They want to be enough to say things, do things, and have lived under the rule that has been in favor for you as an individual. And now that other people want to share in that, now all of a sudden, you know, not only do you not want it, but you want to tear it and destroy it up. You know, all that old nonsense.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Because I'm going to tell you something. People can think that this is just bull crap, but you got to go back and look at the whole history of this planet. It gets rid of things. You'll be walking around big as you want to be. It'll get rid of you. Mm. What happened to them? The dinosaur?
Gone. Oh, they drowned in the flood. That's what happened to them.
We don't know what happened to them.
Oh, yeah, we do. They was in the flood.
Girl, what flood we talking about now?
Noah's flood.
Noah didn't have no dinosaurs around him.
Yeah, he did.
Well, you see,
they was all on the earth. All these things were on the earth. The Bible talks about it. The earth
back when, look, man. I don't know when Noah was on the earth, but I'm sure. I don't even know when dinosaurs was on the earth. Okay, first of all, see, we don't even, I don't know. Now, did Noah come before Jesus or after Jesus?
He came before.
So, Noah was only how many years before Jesus, we think. We just, because we don't know, we just saying.
Right.
And for you scholars that's out there that know it, keep it to yourself.
Or gonna, call in and let us know.
No, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
We just want to guess at this. Because,
well, he was 500, now wait a minute, Methuselah lived 1,000 years.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, 969, he lived, okay. So we do know that there was 1,000-year span before Noah even showed up,
now,
right?
Now, let me say this about the 1,000 years.
Okay.
The 1,000 years was not the same cycle of 365 that we have today.
Supposed to be, though.
So their their year could have been 2 months, 3 months. We don't know.
Well, you know,
because they don't say what they, because see, time is something that's fictitiously made up. Jesus and them didn't have watches and times and stuff.
No, but they did discern the stars and the moon, and that's how they set up the calendars even back then. You know, so.
Well, the people that set the calendars and stuff up, that might be true.
Yeah, and they did it way back then.
Been a minute, man.
Yeah, a long time.
Well.
Because Noah was 500 years old before he had his first son, right?
I don't know how old them people was. Linda, give out your call number and tell people to call in at
743-8399-44. If you know.
9944. Call up and tell us what you think about it, because I don't know.
No, me either, but it's fun to think about those things, because I taught on that in the school system with this program I announced, a Good News Club, you know, but it was called JYC, like Junior Christian Club at Grant Middle School, the older kids, you know, and they were teaching evolution. Mm-hmm. Charles Darwin, about the Big Bang and all that happened, and I had to take the kids back through the Bible and show them where the dinosaurs was and the dragons was, you know, and how man came along through those thousands of years before the flood, and that's how all those things were destroyed.
Now, can I say this?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You gotta be safe. Now, man, it's just that when it comes to talking about scripture and those sorts of things, if God had not intended for man to breathe air, he wouldn't have made him have lungs.
Yeah.
Okay, and all the other things that's associated with it, even the air itself. When it comes to scripture, the only reason any words exist is because God had already spoke to man prior to any of that. So why I'm saying that is to say this. The stuff that's written down is stuff that has been given to man to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful, because man will put his own self into something. And he's clever about that. And you have to be careful, because if he touched it, there's going to be something in it that's going to be a little rank, because that's all he has with him. Because man don't have the ability to unfoul things, because he's a foul, because he's a sin. He's sin. So everything he touches going to have sin in it. Am I wrong or right?
Well, we are. sin nature. On. We are sin nature. On. Okay, we are sin nature. You're right about that.
I ain't.
You came the same way we did through Adam and Eve, right?
I did a thing, and we're doing another thing on the Black Adam, too.
Are you?
We've already done it. I haven't edited that one either.
Okay.
And I talk about that movie. And where they got that concept from, because the real Black Adam was Jesus.
Second Adam, yeah.
Well, that's the first what Adam wasn't Jesus.
No, it was okay. The man made okay. out the dirt, right? Right?
So, yeah. So my point is, the second Adam.
Which is Christ.
Which is Jesus.
Right.
And the reason that it's Black Adam, because they said Jesus was bronze and had wool hair and all that sorts of thing. So we know they was describing somebody of color. So that's why in this particular movie, man, you got to be careful about how Hollywood. See, Hollywood will flip you over, man, because what they'll do is take something and they'll put the concept of what it's really supposed to be about. And then they'll go in there and they destroy the concept. So in other words, they'll give him power. Mm-hmm. But they'll make him the evil one when he really not supposed to be.
Right.
It was a little twisted how they had that.
Right. And a lot of people are sympathetic for the devil, Satan, and think that he should be able to go to heaven as well after all he did.
Well, he goes to heaven, but he can't reside in heaven.
Right. He does go every day, evidently.
He goes up and, you know, and petition and, you know, do his thing, I guess. God allows that.
Accused her brethren every day. Yes. Yes, he does allow that.
I don't know how much I would allow. But see, that's why I couldn't be God. There it go. Ain't no way. I wouldn't be like, hey, did you hear what I said? No.
You wouldn't be that type of God if you were God. Listen, you don't think you'd have his patience?
Well.
His loving kindness and his tender mercies?
I wouldn't try to have it. Because it took him too long to get it. I ain't got that much time. Well, some of it, you know, you kind of want to emulate a little bit. But, man, most of that stuff, we so far removed from where God is and his thought process and stuff. And I don't care. I mean, it's almost like trying to take somebody that can't walk and sit them at a line and tell them to sit there. While you got somebody that can run real fast, tell them to take off running, and then tell the other person, now don't move, but catch them. that's how much we don't know.
And it's so true, and that's why he has it like that, so that we will need him, because we don't know. We don't know nothing.
Not really.
We can't do anything without God. So
not really.
It's set up like that, you know?
That's true.
So you can call him and say, Lord, what is in today? What holds, you know, my attention? Or how do I attack today? Mm-hmm. How do I go along today? And I need your help. I need you to help me get me to the radio. I talked about this yesterday, you know, because I'm like, I try to be here at 10 o'clock. I'm like 10 till from my house, way out west, trying to get here through the traffic and the lights. I'm like, yeah. Lord, take me. Move all the other cars out of my way. So.
Oh, Lord. that tickled me because that's when we start talking to the Lord. And he was like, you should have left earlier.
Right.
He said, I tried to tell you. But no, you
right.
Look. Okay.
Didn't have this and didn't have that, you know, running here, running there, so hey.
You know what I think is so wonderful about God is that he's given us the abilities to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only being with that ability.
Oh, yeah.
And to give us that high, to gift us with it and to trust us with it, his creativeness that he had.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Now, you know, he put limits on it, because if he didn't, we'd be Frankenstein like crazy. You know, we would be. Because I'd make me a couple of things.
Frankenstein.
I'd have me something made up, too, boy, in the back.
Frankenstein. That used to be my movie, too.
I can understand. I don't know why, but what'd you like about Frankenstein?
I guess it was man's imagination, how they created this being, you know. You know, I used to watch Chiller. Remember those back in the day? Chiller.
I keep my eyes on that one. Chiller. Yeah. Chiller Theater.
Yeah.
Used to scare the crap out of me, man. You know what used to really mess me up is the Outer Limits.
That, too.
He's like, don't touch your dial. We got control of your radio. And I'm like a fool, don't know to turn the TV off. And my dad just come up there, click, then look right at you. Click, turn it back on. You see? It took me a while to understand what he was doing, too.
Letting you know he had the power, right. So yes. I got the power over this bad boy, right? Right.
Well, you know, a lot of times, man, it be like that. And you learn little subtle things like that that you don't learn right then, and you learn them later on in life. But sometimes it just takes you time to figure that nonsense out.
Yeah, that's true. So true.
And it all comes back to observing, which was the word of the day.
Yes, yes.
Observing. She's going to read it again.
Yeah, for the next hour. Absolutely.
She said, but...
It was strong, I guess. You're still talking about observation, being observant.
Observation. You know,
great thought for the day.
Being observant. I used to sit up in the ops tower on the base, and that's where you were airplanes when they flew around, and you looked at all of the different, the traffic, the aircraft traffic people.
Right.
Man, that stuff is wild.
I saw...
look at how many planes they got in the air.
Right. Yeah, at one time.
At one time.
That was crazy. When
you
I saw that.
Those planes, man.
Yeah. You know, when I really... I think I didn't even realize that until 911. Remember when all those planes were in the air and 911 had happened? And they was trying to get them all to land. Yep. And it's like, and they showed planes was all over. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? We have that many planes, almost as many cars that are on the road.
A whole lot of planes in
there. Oh, my.
When they tried, like you said, at 911, they didn't have a place for all them planes.
No.
Because they don't have a setup for them to be on the ground. Because a certain percentage is supposed to stay in the air all the time.
Right. One after the other, they're, you know, taking flight and landing.
I'm going to tell you, man, O'Hara in Chicago, man, that place, I don't know what to tell y'all. Atlanta is huge, too.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta's got that train and tram that runs, but you know what? Memphis need a train, and Chicago need it. They both need them trams, man, trams, because... Trying to walk around to the other side, man.
It's a long way.
You start becoming an older person. It's hard on you, man.
Yeah, it is.
Hell yeah, man. You've been and died up in there.
Right.
You know, and then your plane leaving in 10 minutes, and the plane you're on 5 minutes late.
Right.
Now you got trying to run and go, you know, and pulling luggage and carrying
it's
stuff
too
that's
much.
Falling apart.
Right. See, that happened to me last year. We went to Georgia last May, end of May. Mm-hmm. And I had broke my arm in February, so I was just getting over physical therapy, and I had this luggage. Like, what am I doing with this luggage? Trying to drag it and, you know, my arm hurting and all that. And then we was in Atlanta Airport, Delta, right? I did not know it was so big and so far. I'm so glad I had on tennis shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow.
Doesn't matter. You got to have tennis shoes and somebody to push you.
And I did.
You need, you know.
People was trying to help me with my luggage, my sister, and my niece. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And seeing me, I done cut, so I don't even take luggage no more. I just take a bag with something in it.
Mm-hmm.
I get me a pair of shoes, underwear, a couple of shirts, a couple of pants. And if I'm going to go out, I fold stuff up a certain way.
Right.
Make sure I got that, but... Man, because first of all, they charge you $30, $40 to check a bag now. I don't care where you checking. And then if they tell you that they're going to check it for free, no, they're not. They charging you in the price for that bag. Then they treat your bag. Y'all should look and see.
They've shown that, too, on TV, with how they treat your bags and stuff. You know, they kick them and throw them. And
oh, yeah. I've seen people purposely break everything come through that says fragile.
Wow.
They're just jumping up and down, kicking on it. And they're just a-holes.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I don't have the lack of a better word to say. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Because y'all, a lot of y'all are them kind of people. Working in the airport, throwing people stuff around. If you don't want to work there, then don't work there.
Right.
So I don't know what kind of work people want to do these days.
Yeah, that's a big question too, right? Always hiring and people say they don't have enough people to work.
Pandemic. You know how many people died during the pandemic? A couple million folk. You know, you take a couple million folk.
Worldwide though, right?
No. Excuse me. No, it wasn't no worldwide, right here.
United States. Oh, wow.
Why do you think we have, don't you remember when you were riding around and had all them vacant signs for working? Because COVID.
Mm.
People either sick, out, or they went out, learned that they could do their own thing, didn't come back.
True. That's true.
A lot of people died, man.
Yeah,
a lot of people died. I don't know how many people died in this country, but 2 million sound good to me. I always tell people when we do the nine, look, I'm getting ready to, I ain't watched this movie, and I don't know nothing about it, but I'm getting ready to critique it. Okay, and you know what? You don't need to watch movies. You know what's on a movie. You can only do so much on a movie.
True.
There's only so many patterns of a movie, just like music. There ain't nothing you can do in music that we ain't heard already. We done heard it all. Especially if you done listened to any kind of symphonic type, you know, like Bach, Beethoven, those kind of guys, man. Them guys took music and turned it upside down.
Yes, they did.
And then you had the Jazz Brothers come along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them cats with the bebop, Miles Davis and his whole group.
Yeah.
They didn't even, man.
Miles
Davis. They rules. They wanted the rules so they could break them. And then, you know, guys like Stevie Wonder, he's good at breaking rules and playing.
Prince, they're musical geniuses.
Absolutely. We all are geniuses. It's like, those guys. I probably couldn't turn their equipment on. I could plug it in, though.
Right.
But I might not find the switch.
Oh,
unless
wow.
It's red. Now, if it's red, because it should be. What color is that switch on that? Red? For the power switch?
I don't even know.
Uh-oh. Don't mess with it. You don't mess
power
with
switch. All I know is this is always on. It's always on. I don't know how to turn it on per se, but it's always on.
Well, there is no on. That right there is passive. Now, that thing should have. That thing is plugged in.
But I can't control, the mics.
Yeah,
I can turn them up and down. Yeah, I can do that. But as far as turning it on, as far as I know, it's always on. Always on.
It's plugged in somewhere. But
It's got electrical cords everywhere.
Well, those cords there are just for the mics signals, but
so I have no idea what all these cords is about.
Mics. All of your small, all of your smaller cords is for you, like your speakers, and all of your big cords that's in the big silver pieces back there. That's all for your microphones, just all over sitting around.
Okay, well, time is drawing near. We have 2 minutes left.
I don't even understand what that means.
Time is drawing near.
What kind of stuff is that?
Near to the time that we're going to turn it off.
There you go.
And wait for the next segment at 11:15. Yes. we have another minute left anyway, so.
Okay, well, what you want to say in that last minute?
Go ahead. I give you.
No, I'm just saying, give them out the number and tell them what show they're listening to.
Okay,
listen to
I can do
Linda
that.
Sims,
yes.
Voice of the People. I think that's what we call it, right?
Yes. Thank you for tuning in today. Listening to Linda Sims, a voice of the people here on WGH Talk. Don't forget, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download a free app called TuneIn and search WWGH. And don't forget, you can always call in by calling 740-383-9945. 1-800-844-4444 if you'd like to ask any questions or make any comments regarding our show. It can be for me or it can be for my guest, Willie Harris. Woody Harris, he will be with me also the next hour. We will start up again at 11:15 a.m. until top of the hour at 12 noon. So, and somebody texted me and said, don't forget the Flintstones had a dinosaur named Dino.
You know what? And we did the Flintstones.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Well, till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For broadcasting legends, Charlie.